It is Thursday night, it is fall, and it's time for Sports Look here on Care Radio. So good to have you back with us for the 2022-23 season, and Sports Look being brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Exchange National Bank, and Gerber Electric. Good to have you back with us, everybody. Gus Counts beside me, Tom Counts with you here, and Gus, it's kind of been forever, and a lot of things have changed in the world of sports since we were here back on March 17th last year.
Yeah, March 17th. We were talking about high school basketball state champions. We were getting ready for the men's and women's national basketball tournaments. Free agency was just starting in the NFL. Hadn't even had a draft. Kansas City did pretty okay in this year's draft. We'll talk about that in a moment. The Royals had just re-signed Zach Greinke, a move that worked out okay. Spring games were going to start like the next day. And we were about to get into the NCAA tournament, which went well for Kansas fans.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll just talk about some of the things that happened while we were gone. Jayhawk fans still walking on air a little bit as Bill Self and Kansas wins the national tournament.
Think back to that game, you know, late March, early April. You go into halftime, North Carolina had gone on that huge run, built up that big lead. Do you think it was over?
Or did you
really, in the back of your mind, think Kansas could have the biggest comeback in NCAA championship game history?
Yeah, I absolutely did. And yeah. I just felt like early in the game, they weren't playing well. They weren't playing Kansas. They were playing a little differently. And I felt like if they could get what they did, come back in the second half early, make a move, and just build up that wave of momentum, that they could do it. And I tell you what, it was a Cinderella end.
I love your optimism. I was the opposite. I really wanted to believe they could do it. I just didn't think they could. But at the end of the day, the Hawks are going to raise another banner this fall. And Bill Self probably solidifies himself as, you know, one of the top-tier coaches of all time when it comes to college basketball, right?
But what you've got to understand is that for me, I'm like one of the worst supporters because I'm the best supporters of my team. I never think KU is going to lose a basketball game. I never think Benedictine is going to lose a football or basketball game. I don't care who they play. I go in every one of those games thinking, they're going to win this.
They're going to win it.
They're going to win.
That's a good attitude to have. You know, not long after that, the Chiefs turned around and traded Tyreek Hill in a move that I think nobody saw coming.
This is, I think, still the biggest story in the NFL in the offseason.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think it's a bigger deal than the Davante Adams trade from the Packers to the Raiders because a lot of people are like, oh, you had to make room for Aaron Rodgers. But when it comes down to it, Kansas City trading Tyreek Hill was never even a whisper until it was almost a done deal, right? Like, I feel like we woke up one morning, there was starting to be a little momentum, and I mean, 2 hours later, he was off to Miami, Kansas City had the picks, and next thing you know, I mean, boom, it went down that quickly.
And the thing that I have found interesting is the way it went down and the way Tyreek handled things, Chief fans got over that really quickly. I thought, oh, man, this may be a lingering sore spot. Tyreek who right now?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what it's been. And here's the deal. If you're a Dolphin fan, you're really excited because you got an explosive player, a player who's a really good, you know, football player. The thing is, he hasn't played in a preseason game yet for you. Doesn't practice all that often right now. I mean, and has his podcast where he's, you know, way more animated than he was in Kansas City, which also goes to show how Kansas City does a good job of making sure, like, here's the end game is we want to win that big one. Everybody needs to get on board and be, you know, going the same direction. I mean, so Andy Reid, Clark Hunt, the front office does a good job of making sure, hey, you know, you guys all are characters, but when we're here, this is who we are. We're not any of the outside stuff. So, I mean, that is another thing that I think I've kind of gleaned from this afterwards is that Kansas City did a real good job of kind of reining him in and keeping him on track. But at the end of the day, you watch some of these, you know, preseason games. I mean, Kansas City looks sharp so far.
And let's go back. One last thing I got to touch on, Tyreek. That move by him, and I know you want to get paid. I understand it's all about the money, but it was a career killer because now he's got Tua and his future, his history is changing.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers will go down, and, you know, he's not going to win the games that he wants to win, but at the end of the day, you did set your family up. You know, you solidified the money aspect of it. And, you know, there are a lot of former players that kind of wish they would have. So, you know, for Tyreek, you wish the best for him. And I just don't think it'll work out in the long run as on-field success.
I also ran the NCAA back to things that have happened since we were here last. The realignment of teams and conferences is absolutely insane. And the fact that UCLA and USC are going to go to the Big Ten, the Big 12 is picking up people. Yeah, oh yeah, that fits.
It fits, okay? Because nobody cares about UCLA and USC, and nobody cares about the Big Ten. So just lop them in there, okay? I mean, I can't remember the last time UCLA was relevant in football. And USC was probably the last relevant in football back in the early 2000s, you know, right? Maybe. Back when they had Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, so 2003, 4, 5.
I'm not even sure they've been relevant since Simpson was there.
See? Maybe. I mean, it's just one of those things where you're like, you know, USC, it was a name back in the day, and everybody looked at USC Notre Dame. And to this day, I don't understand why USC and Notre Dame have a rivalry. And I don't care. I mean, I don't watch it. It's a terrible game because neither of those programs have been very successful lately. So, again, those two teams will move to the Big Ten. It'll be a big cash grab. But at the end of the day, I feel like we could put this every year on the while we were gone because I feel like every summer something changes.
Talking about not having a lot of success in recent times, Kansas City Royals continue to struggle. And even though they have maybe the best young player in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr., who's made his debut, and he's been really, really outstanding, along with several other young players who they have brought up now in the later part of the season. But yet, the Royals are going to have to do something. They have been unsuccessful a lot.
Yeah, I saw an article just a couple days ago that talked about guys that are maybe on the hot seat when it comes to this offseason. Dayton Moore was listed as number 3 on that list. They didn't list J.J. Piccolo because, you know, he's only been on the job about 9 months, hasn't had a full offseason to really do what he wants. Right now, the Royals are playing, what, 8-9 rookies a night? I mean, it's wonderful. Like, if you're a fan of a bad team, at least give me the young guys, right? Like, give me a chance to look at the future and see what's going to happen. Like, last night, Wednesday night, they were able to almost come back in that ball game against, goodness, I can't even remember who they were, Arizona. And, you know, just came up a little short. But it shows you that that team's still fighting. I feel like they're at least trending in the right direction. It's fun to see Pasquantino. It's fun to see Bobby Witt, MJ Melendez. Like, all these names that we've been hearing about at the minors, they're finally here.
Right.
And so that's at least a positive. Better than rolling out like a Benintendi. I like Benintendi, but he doesn't help you. You know, Whit Merrifield. Since being traded to
Toronto,
I do. I check the box score. You rarely see Whit Merrifield listed. I mean, he's barely playing right now for Toronto, kind of coming in every, you know, third day as a utility guy. But, you know, I prefer to see this style of baseball from the Royals. Even though they're not being successful yet, you're getting those guys to figure out what it's like to be in the majors.
Speaking of Kansas City, soccer fan, you are also a happy, happy camper because Kansas City aced out a lot of big, big places, a lot of very soccer-oriented communities, and Kansas City is going to host some of the World Cup games.
Yeah, that's about as much as I know about it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just heard it. I knew they beat out some really big cities. They were also listed with some pretty big cities. So it's a cool deal for Kansas City. When it happens, I will probably not notice other than it'll be on, you know, on the social media.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, but it's cool for soccer fan. I'm just not big into World Cup, don't really follow it.
But yet they're going to pack the place.
Yeah, they'll sell a lot of tickets.
The new KCI airport's going to get
a debut. A great economy boost for those guys. So,
hey, we move on to what's coming up next out, the old stuff. And so behind us now and on with the new, we have Benedictine College football coming up on Care Radio this Saturday. The Ravens 2022 season. Second-year head coach Joel Osborne has these guys out. They are working hard. And, Gus, I think we're going to see some familiar names. We're also going to see some very unfamiliar names.
Yeah, I think you're going to bring back a lot of pieces that you remember from last year. And you're also going to get a handful of freshmen you know, transfers, guys that we're not used to in this program. But by the end of the season, you're going to say, wow, that was a really nice ad for this club. And I think that right now Coach Osborne is still taking some time trying to figure out, you know, what pieces you need to add, seeing the guys that he would like to see. Because, again, you come into a team, you're trying to change around the offense, you're trying to, you know, adapt that to your style, but you already have some holdover pieces, and you're trying to see how you can make those work best for you. And for Benedictine, I think the name of the game this year, especially on offense, it's going to be speed, right? Like, you know, turn the burners loose and see what happens. And so it should be a really exciting season. You look at the coaches' polls coming into this season, I don't know. We had a little game. We wrote them out before they even came out. Well, we were both pretty close.
Yeah. Like, there were no surprises.
Yeah, I mean, we might have flipped a 4 and a 5 or a 5 and a 6, but I'll tell you, the top portion was just about spot on. You knew the coaches would go with Baker 1 just because Baker has won it so many times. Benedictine came in second with 22 points. Central Methodist, third place. I think a lot of that is losing the quarterback, right? You had a freshman quarterback. It looked like the program was headed in the right direction. They made the playoffs. They were conference champions. And the quarterback transfers, and all of a sudden it's a different story. I mean, you're kind of like, let's put him at third, and I thought that was maybe a little optimistic for him. Evangel coming in fourth, Mid-America 5, Missouri Valley 6, which sounds about right anymore.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it has been shaking out in the last decade, at least. That's kind of where it's always been. That's kind of how it's been locked in for a while.
And in the North, no surprise, 25 first-place votes go to Grandview.
Wait, a team that's been in the national championship game last year, deserve that.
Yeah, they probably deserve that. Number two is going to be Culver Stockton with 21 points. Peru State at 3, William Penn at 4. So Penn, who comes into Atchison next week under longtime head coach Todd Hafner, but they are changing up the offense. The defense is kind of revamped a little bit, so nobody really knows what to see from them. They are coming in fourth. I think I was a little surprised with 5-6. This is where I flipped it. Clark at 5 with 8 points, Grayson with in 6 at 6 points, so it shows you that everybody was close on them. I'm going to tell you, don't sleep on Grayson with their first-year head coach, who is a guy who's been very successful. Coach Ross was at Lindenwood for years. He is, I believe, the winningest coach in Lindenwood program history. We're going to talk about the numbers when Benedictine plays Graceland. He likes to score a lot of points in Lamona, Iowa. Well, I think a lot of people like to score a lot of points in Lamona.
Which, because you can.
But yeah, so I think that, you know, if Coach Ross stays there long enough, then Graceland could be a team that you kind of watch out for a little bit.
Well, so Benedictine football here on Care Radio Saturday. The season begins. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff in Wilcox Stadium. And
tonight kicks it off. Okay? The worst trip in America.
Okay?
Like, they probably left on Sunday. Clark is headed to Nixon, Missouri for a 6:30 kickoff at Eagle Stadium, and is this Evangel's last season?
It is their last season in this conference.
So Clark will travel to Evangel tonight. That's a 6:30 kickoff.
Oh, and by the way, had Evangel had to go to Clark this year instead of going the other way, last year might have been their last year.
Yeah, that's probably true, too. This Saturday schedule, real quick, before we get out of this segment, the 11 a.m. game. Yeah, 11 a.m. from Liston Stadium. It's going to be Culver Stockton at Baker. That's going to probably be a game to circle. Coach Sally's had that great Culver team trending upwards. Again, a win there would be huge for him. A loss there, probably just the same old Culver, right? I mean, as terrible as that sounds in week one, I think that's how you have to look at it. Grandview versus Central Methodist in Fayette will be a 1 o'clock game. Peru State will travel to Missouri Valley for a 6 p.m. game. Graceland will be at, I'm not even sure where Mid-America is playing. I'm guessing still the ODAC.
The ODAC, that's where Benedictine is playing. We're at the ODAC.
Okay, so that's a 6 p.m. game. Yep. But I did see that they're starting to roll out plans for possibly putting football back on campus. So
I've heard this rumble, but we'll wait and see. And it's with all that, again, Raven football Saturday on Care Radio. The pregame around 12:30. We're going to be talking to Hey Coach Osborne. We're going to give you a lot of insights, a lot of pregame information. This year, as Benedictine has really had some new guys come in to the coaching staff. There are people that you don't know, people that we don't know very well. And therefore, halftimes this year, we're going to be talking to the new assistant coaches, and there are like 10 of them. So we're going to have to find out one other halftime before the end of the season. Other than that, we are going to be talking to Raven coaches and the new guys at halftimes, and I think you're going to find some of those very, very, very interesting. Tell you what, interesting, we got tons of stuff coming up. We're going to be talking to Ken Hamada at Hamada Wealth Management. They are a title sponsor for Sports Look and a great booster of athletics here on Care Radio. We're also going to be talking to Cy Wallace. Cy is the AD at ACCHS. There is big news coming out of Tiger Stadium in Effingham for Friday night. We'll hear all about that and more, and then we'll be back. Lots more Sports Look coming your way here on Care. We got Cy Wallace visiting with us here on Sports Look, the activities director at Atchison County Community High Schools. Mr. Wallace, seasons have rolled around pretty quickly. It's good to be back.
Yep, comes around, goes around quick, doesn't it?
It does, and you know we want to talk about the big jamboree coming up, but maybe before that, we should maybe kind of touch base on the many activities that are going on at USD 377 fall sports and such.
Yeah, we got volleyball, cross country, high school football, and then of course we got junior high and volleyball and football as well, and junior high cross country. So those will all kick off next week. We have a freshman quad here at home, plus a junior high quad at home for volleyball on Monday, and then varsity has a volleyball try at home on Tuesday. And cross country goes to Jeff West at Shawnee North Country Club next Thursday. Junior high football and volleyball are at Valley Falls. And then the high school season kicks off at Valley Falls for football. So wow. It's going hot and heavy.
Wow. How's participation? You got lots of kids coming out, I suspect.
We do. Yeah, we have 34, I think, for high school football, which is really good for our numbers where we're at. Volleyball's at 30. Cross country, I think we're still waiting on everybody to kind of settle in. Looks like probably 15 to 18 total for the high school junior high program. And then junior high football, I believe we were at 24 maybe. And junior high volleyball was our smallest group there right now at 12.
And
14, I think.
A lot of schools around seem to, you know, as the years go by, have difficulty staffing, but it seems like that at 377, you have great participation from teachers and staff and people in the community who step up and help you coach, because with all of these sports and all the directions you go, it takes a lot of help.
It does, and I'm really appreciative. We've got lost a lot of people either due to the fact they left, retired this last year, so anytime you lose some people that have been around for a long time, you kind of wonder, am I going to find somebody to replace them? But like you said, our staff's done a good job stepping up, and I have a lot longer list than what I thought I was going to have for workers, so I couldn't be more thrilled and happy with our participation out here. And public's gotten involved pretty good with helping out with meals and booster club and stuff like that, so no complaints.
Cy Wallace with his AD at ACCHS. And Coach Wallace, there is a really fun thing that's going to happen, and you're hosting it. It is going to be an Atchison County Jamboree.
Yes, sir. Friday night this week, 26th, 6:30 here at Tiger Stadium. Marhill and Atchison will both be coming out, participating in the Jamboree. Starting at 6:30, we're going to run a concession stand. Cook some hamburgers and hot dogs and have some drinks and stuff for a free will donation. Proceeds for that will go toward, once we get our new weight room and fitness facility, multi-purpose building up, putting some equipment in the weight room. We're also having our sports scrimmages for other activities that night, starting at 4 o'clock cross country and 4:30 for junior high volleyball. Junior high football is not going to opt in, so high school volleyball will be at 5 and then the jamboree at 6:30. We're charging $1 for everybody to get in. And when we set this up, that money for the gate fee, the dollar, the host team will choose a charity. and we'll donate that money toward a good cause of the team's choosing. So kind of a cool activity. It's cool for the county because the local schools get to get together and kind of go out, as they say, and get the the bugs out and the jitters out before the lights hit next Friday night. So great opportunity. Looking forward to it.
And how wonderful is the cooperation to be able to, you know, to get Atchison High, Morehill Mount Academy, and you guys, you know, everybody to coordinate and to work in a cooperative manner in order to put this together, which is great for the kids, great for the community.
Oh, yes. And, you know, it builds goodwill between all three schools. And, you know, about every other year, we're fortunate if we can host it at BC. This year, BC has a home game. Weren't really wanting to do anything Friday night, so hopefully next year we can have it back over there. So, you know, but it's a good opportunity when we don't for the schools to have it and showcase the whole countywide thing. You know, that it's good for everybody. So we're excited and looking forward to it.
Now, Coach, you being much younger than I am, you may not remember this, but it harkens back to me. Remember the old days when we had the soap scrimmage in the Friday night before the football game? Now, the young listeners will wonder what in the world that is, but you would come and the admission was a bar of soap that would go to the showers, you know, for the guys. And I suspect that today we're not all just sharing a bar of soap in the showers now.
I guess not. Yep. You're lucky you can get kids to shower after practice anymore, it seems like, so. Yeah, I remember a bar of soap or a bottle of shampoo to get in. And then it became, what was it, probably in the late 80s, early 90s, it became a sports drink scrimmage. And
exactly right.
Everybody brought Gatorade and water and whatever else, and then you used it until it ran out. So,
Those were fantastic days, but it's probably not so bad that we've moved on to this kind of a format here.
You bet.
And you talk about the players. And the coaches and everybody getting a chance to kind of get their game faces on. My observation would be officials coming to the games. For them, it's like that good first outing.
Oh, you bet. Yep. Give them an opportunity to go out and work. And especially if you're breaking in new guys on the crew, which probably around the state of Kansas, that's a possibility. A lot of officials retiring or a lot of officials just deciding not to work. A lot of crews are, it's a lot different than it used to be. You know, you had a crew that you grew up with and they were kind of around for many years. Now it's like, well, this guy might be going and working with this guy's crew. So it could be a totally different group of guys coming in. So, you never know what you're going to get, but, definitely an opportunity for the officials. And I know they appreciate it to get an opportunity to come out and work. Plus it helps the kids as well because it gives them a game feel. I mean, you've got officials on the sideline. They can line up right and get all that stuff worked out and hopefully be onside. So,
now, for the Jamboree Friday night that's coming up at Effingham with Morehill Mount Academy, Atchison, and ACCHS, kind of what's the format? Just kind of basically, generally, how it's going to work?
Well, Acacia allows the minimum you can have. You have to have three teams for sure. The max is, they recommend, is four. But each team gets 36 snaps. Offensively. So you basically, essentially, you run 36 plays, however you do that. Generally, the three coaches are meeting tonight. They're going to kind of iron out. Generally, you set up a rotation. Oh, let's say we're playing Morehill, and then Morehill's on offense, we're on defense. Our defense will rotate out. Morehill goes on defense, Atchison comes in and runs a series of offense against Morehill's D. And then Morehill will rotate out, Atchison goes to defense, will come in and run a series of offensive plays. And however they decide to divide that up, probably they go set to 12 plays, set to 9 plays, and then maybe at the end run 4 or 5 from the 10-yard line or goal line situation, whatever they choose to do. They're going to iron that out tonight, but you get a total of 36 plays. So that's it in a nutshell. You know, whatever. I know people hate preseason, and a lot of times in scrimmages, you know, people are wanting to come out. You know as well as I do, you've been around. It's going to look pretty vanilla, or somebody's going to run an offense from way back when that you're not even going to run and make everybody go back and think, whoa, got some extra film work to do. So It's also gamesmanship, I think, too, because you never know. A lot of these are on Friday night and some are on Saturday, so you never know what teams or what leagues will be here scouting. And coaches are about as superstitious as anybody. They're going to hold back their best stuff. And the ones that are really confident don't care. They'll come out and do what they're going to do. So you never know what you're going to get, so that's kind of the cool thing I think about it, too.
And for the fans, if you're playing three teams at 36, you're getting over 100 plays of football that you get to sit out there and watch and get, yeah, and get ready to go for the season.
Yep, yep. So be a couple hours of good football, hopefully. You have to take a break in between each. Like I said, if Marhill and Edson start off or however the coach has determined who starts off, there'll be, Casey requires a break from that series. So you just don't, obviously the thing you look at this time of year, thank God for these guys, wasn't like when you and I play as 105 every day the first week of practice. This week's been like in the 80s, so these guys are getting spoiled, but you usually have to worry about the heat and the hydration, so they usher in, I can't remember the exact time amount, I think it's 5 to 10 minute breaks in between each series of plays, whatever that may be, so there's a little time to go to the concession stand, talk to your neighbor, catch up in between sessions, so get a lot accomplished on Friday night.
That's great. Cy Wallace is with us. And one more time, Friday night, Tiger Stadium, Effingham. What's the times and stuff again? Make sure everybody gets there.
6:30. We're at 6:30 start time.
Coach, we are looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing the Tigers through the course of the season. We appreciate you taking time out of a hectic schedule, getting everything going, and all the oars pulling in the same direction. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all you do.
We've got Ken Hamada with us. Ken is with Hamada Wealth Management and a title sponsor here on Sportsbook. Ken, we appreciate you taking the time. Sir, how are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
Well, the first thing I'm going to ask you, you are relatively new to the area, and, you know, it's a big world out there. So how did you find yourself coming to Atchison? What was it that drew you to the area around here?
It was primarily driven by my wife, Monica, and our son attending Benedictine College here. And he's majoring in electrical engineering. And what was really funny was about 2 weeks before us coming out here, my wife announces to me that we're meeting with Dorothy. So I say, without making a joke, about Wizard of Oz, and I said, "Who's Dorothy?" And she goes, "Oh, Dorothy's a real estate agent." So then she says, I look at her kind of with a look, and I go, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "Well, I just want to look at some houses." So literally 2 weeks before we're going to drop our son off, she announces this, and then we come into town, and we happen to look around, and we found a fabulous Victorian home about 3-4 blocks from the university. So that's how we're here.
And so where's home originally? Where have you come from? What's your background there?
I grew up in the Central Valley of Central California. Lived there, grew up there, farmer's son, farmer's kid. And then probably about, it's probably about 13 years ago, we moved to Prescott, Arizona, and then lived in Prescott until this, you know, until about 2 years ago. And that's what brought us here is, was our son. And so we split our time between Arizona and here in Kansas. So
we've got Ken Hamada with us, and Ken with Hamada Wealth Management. Is this the occupation, is this the career path that you had always chosen, I mean, to help people and help put them in a good place?
Yes, sir. When I was 17, 18, I started following the stock market. And then I got into college and became really excited about it. So it's something I've absolutely loved. It's transformed the way we do business in the last 24 years from just picking stocks and investments to full-fledged wealth management.
And you being a primary sponsor here on Sports Look, I kind of think about, you know, what's kind of the sports connection and are there any analogies? And, you know, I'm kind of looking at this, and help me out with this. You're a lot like a coach in that, you know, you're there to make people, put people in the best situation that they can be, and maybe they came to the game early, maybe they procrastinated to come to the game late, but there are probably things that you can do to make their situation way better.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So a lot of the goals of what we try to do is we are a coach. I am a coach. I'm basically coaching clients through how to plan for the future, how to set up their estate, how to invest properly, how not to take too much risk or take the proper risk they want to take, set in place where they can have lifetime income, determine what's going on in the markets, you know, especially in this highly inflationary environment right now. So a lot of clients are concerned, a little bit nervous right now.
And continuing a little bit with the sports thing, being from California and then having been to Arizona, you've got to be a sports fan. Are you still like a fan of, you know, the teams that you were following and a fan of as a youth, or have those shifted to the Midwest?
They have shifted to the Midwest. Still a very big fan. I know it's a Cardinals fan to say this, but the Arizona Cardinals are still one of my favorite NFL teams. But we have become big, big fans of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, of course, BC football is always a great time to go out to. So,
wow. Ken, as a Cardinal fan, you know what the hard times are like. So you're ready for some good times with them, right?
Yes, sir, we are. It seemed like last year they were going to do really, really well. And then it's like they hit a wall in week 9 or 10. I forget when it was. And it was just like, are you serious? You know? So.
Well, again, Ken, we appreciate your taking the time. We appreciate you being a part of Sports Look. And we look forward to a great season for your teams. You know, we'll even pull. It's a NFC. We can pull for the Cardinals a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And hey, I'm loving Patrick Mahomes. So I'm looking to see what's going to happen this year. So it'll be pretty exciting. So,
well, again, we thank you for your time. We look forward to a lot of people getting to know you, getting to know Hamada Wealth Management. And I've got your number here, 928-259-8015. Is that the right number to call if they want to get in touch with you?
Yes, sir. We actually have one more number as well, and they can reach me at 913-379-8690, 913-379-8690, and they can also do an online search of Hamada Wealth Management.
Ken Hamada, it has been a pleasure, and we look forward to staying in touch with you. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Registered principal offering securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, IFG, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group, LLC, and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Welcome back to Sports Look. Good to have you with us here with Gus Counts, Tom Counts with you, and Gus is moving to the fourth segment as we've had some great conversations with some of the folks in the area talking some sports. Let's just jump right into the Kansas City Chiefs. We alluded to them a little bit earlier in the first segment, and Kansas City has looked, their first string, let's put it like that, has looked incredibly good in the first two preseason games. And by the way, I'm still not used to not having four preseason games.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I think that's why people are struggling to figure out what do you do with this last preseason game, because before it was hardly play in the first one, play a little more in the second one, play all the way the first half of the third game, and then the fourth game everybody sat out. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how the Chiefs attack the Thursday night game against the Packers, but when it's all said and done, the first string has looked great, especially the offense. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, what, three possessions? He's
three touchdowns.
You know, got three touchdowns, and it's just, they look like they're moving the ball well. Looks like they're having no, you know, layovers. What, in the first game, he went 7 of 8 to 7 different receivers or something crazy like that, or 6 of 7. I mean, it's just spreading the ball around right now. I think he's kind of having fun. Some of the national pundits are even saying maybe he looks a little sharper than he has. And can I tell you, we talked about in segment one about Tyreek Hill going to Miami and getting into his podcast. And when he made the comment that Tua was the most accurate passer he had ever played with, like, that's one of those things that Patrick will never probably say it, But it probably goes into that mental bank where one day he pulls it back out and says, you know, I feel like he's been a little sharper in this preseason, making sure those passes are right on. And so I think that maybe that's going to be one of those driving factors. Not
is
like
this,
15 needs another
is
driving factor.
Is this the last thing the Chiefs fans need to thank Tyreek for, making that crack?
Yeah, maybe, right? Like, you know, it's just one of those things that this offense looks good. I really like the rookie Sky Moore. I think that he's going to be a nice addition to the team. And you haven't even seen Juju Smith-Schuster, right?
No.
You know, I mean, he's kind of dealing with a little bit of an injury, and Kansas City, I think, is doing the right thing. Like, you know what you got. Don't play him until you have to play him on September 11th. So
I am expecting big things from McColl.
I think so, too. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who can get paid in the offseason, right? Therese Paylor always said, the contract year is undefeated, right? Like, that is one of those things where everybody's going to come out and look to get paid, and I think that McColl is going to play a little better this year. He's going to have a little bigger role on the team, and I think it's setting up to be a big year for him.
And I've always thought that he had, I'm telling you, stride-for-stride speed with Hill.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's a burner. I think that, you know, Kansas City at the end of last year, I think by the end of the season, really figured out what to do with McColl Hardman. I mean, you started to see him in some end rounds. You started to see him on some, you know, underneath stuff, and then let him take the top off of it. I mean, and so I think Kansas City started to get comfortable at the end of the year. It's one of those toys that you're just not really sure what to do with it, and so you just say, let's try it, right? You know, it's that new fishing lure that you got. You're like, I don't really know. Let's just throw it out there. Figure out how to use it. You're going to learn. And so I think that's what they've done with McColl Hardman. And again, Kansas City, though, we keep talking about the offense. Flip to the defense real quick. I mean, they had two first-round draft picks. Spent them both on the defense, right? Went Trent McDuffie, the cornerback from Washington. He's been okay. I mean, I think a cornerback coming into the NFL is just a hard position to play anyway. But George Karloftis at 30. The other day I saw a write-up that said Karloftis at 30 might have been the steal of the draft right now. And it's because he's got two sacks in two games, and he's been everything that was advertised. A guy who's going to work hard, a guy who's not going to give up on a lot of plays. I mean, you saw the sack that he had, Saturday against Washington, where he ran by the quarterback, stops, turns around, chases him down from behind, and gets a sack. I mean, a lot of guys aren't going to do that. Once they pass the quarterback, they're like, oh, man, I missed him. Okay, whatever. You know, but, I mean, I think that's the kind of player that George Karloftis could be. So I think that, you know, again, defensive pieces, you need that really badly for this team.
So is tonight a preview of Super Bowl?
No, because I have no faith in the Packers.
Okay.
Right? Like, I mean, and that sounds awful, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers is struggling with his young receivers. What, so far in the preseason, they have the most drops of any team, and I just think right now he's going to struggle a little bit, and again, I expect Kansas City's got a really good shot to be there. Do not expect the Packers to be there.
Chiefs open the regular season at Arizona. That's 3:25 game on the 11th, so football season for the NFL is here. Also, we mentioned earlier about the Royals. They're playing lots of rookies, having a good time, and they're out in San Diego this weekend, enjoying some of the finest weather in the nation.
Yeah, San Diego with Juan Soto after pulling off that huge trade right there before the trade deadline. Eric Hosmer has already come to Kansas City a couple weeks ago with Boston. So, again, the Padres are one of those teams who they were playing really well, then they struggled to find themselves a little bit. Now they're starting to bounce back. They're looking to get one of those wild cards in the National League. I mean, you talk about them, how well the Padres are playing, and they're still like 15, 20 games behind the Dodgers because the Dodgers are playing so well right now. But again, for the Royals, go out, have fun, and again, kind of play the role of the spoiler right now.
And a couple more quick baseball notes. You know, looking at the big, big picture, Albert Pujols in his final year of playing baseball, I believe, is chasing 700 home runs at .693. Can he get there?
Yeah. I mean, have you seen the
way? He had two the other night.
Yeah, he had two the other night and missed a third one in the sixth inning, I think. And so it's just like, he's hitting the ball well. He's playing well. Can't tell you, it's a great story for baseball, right? Albert Pujols goes back to St. Louis. He's chasing 700. He's playing really well. They're in, you know, a National League title hunt. I mean, like, there are so many great stories for baseball going on right now, and that's just one of them. And, again, for the people of St. Louis, good for them, right? Like, I mean, to get Albert back, to have him. I mean, I think coming into the season, a lot of people just figured Albert would be, you know, the old guy on the bench, maybe DH for him a couple days. Yeah, DH, that's weird to say. You know, DH for him a couple days. So, anyway.
Aaron Judge has 48 home runs, chasing Maris's 61. Couple of thoughts here. Yankees seem to be able to dominate that statistic. The short porch is a big help. Frankly, I'm pulling for him to not make that happen.
Yeah, because for me, that's still a record, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can say whatever you want about McGuire, Sosa, Bonds. Now, don't get me wrong, the McGuire-Sosa summer was fun when they were chasing Maris. But, I mean, then afterwards we learn all this stuff, and we've known all along about Bonds. I mean, I still think that to this day, the purist of baseball will tell you that 61's the record.
61's the number.
And for Aaron Judge, he's still hitting the ball really well. So, I don't know. You asked me in a week.
What do we have left in the season? We got still a month.
Oh, yeah, you got like 30 games left. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got time to get there. 13 home runs is not a lot.
Every other game, he got to hit one.
Yeah, but there's the problem. And I think that, you know, if you've ever seen the movie 61, it was a Billy Crystal movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was.
I really enjoyed it.
Billy's a huge baseball fan.
I was going to say, it's actually probably one of my favorite sports movies, as crazy as that is, even though I did watch Major League last night.
Ah,
and
see.
That's different. But, you know, and they portray in the movie how Maris talked about. As the games got towards the end, it got harder for him as he got closer to 61 because, I mean, that's when the pressure really builds down on you. Not when you're hitting home runs 48 to 55, but 55 to 61. You know, I mean, that's where you're going to find out if he can do it. Like I said, talk to me in a week and I'll have a better idea, but I think he probably gets it.
Lastly,
and also, that's a good idea for him who's going into free agency in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
the numbers are going to be phenomenal. And by the way, we have, of course, the sad note that I'm sure that all sports fans in around the nation have heard that Lenny Dawson passes away Wednesday. And everybody in Kansas City sports, I mean, he is – I mean, you're going to talk about the Bretts, but Lenny Dawson's in that same breath as maybe the two iconic sports figures in Kansas City sports history.
Okay. When you think of Lenny Dawson, what do you think of? What game?
Oh, Super Bowl.
Okay, see? And I heard so many people today say, even though it was a terrible memory, it was the Dolphins' Christmas.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, and that's what everybody said was, you know, like, even though it didn't go the Chiefs' way, everybody remembers that Dolphins-Chiefs game.
I will never forget it. I remember, I could tell you exactly where I was sitting, where the TV was, watching that game on that Christmas Day. But I still go back to Super Bowls 1 and 4, particularly 4, because Kansas City wins that one against the Vikings. But Lenny Dawson, Lenny the Cool, and he was absolutely that. He and Hank Stram had a very special relationship, both on and off the field, and yeah, he is an iconic figure who then transcended the game, went on to, you know, being a television sports anchor, and I tell you what, he was Kansas City sports.
Yeah, and maybe one of the most iconic pictures of NFL history.
Halftime?
Right, the halftime picture, right?
How fresca!
I don't care what picture you ever think of, like when you see that, you say, that's it, you know, Lenny. So.
There you have it. Hey, sports coming up here on Kent Radio. Saturday, it's Benedictine football, 12:30 for the pregame, 1 o'clock. The Ravens and the Statesmen of William Penn and Wilcox Stadium. Come up. See the game. Bring your do people have transistor radios that they carry in their pocket anymore? If not, just bring your phone and go to mscsports.net and listen to the live stream of the game.
I feel kind of big time. I got AirPods this summer, so all of a sudden you put those in your ear and, you know, you're kind of cool.
It's awesome. Speaking of cool, our great sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Exchange National Bank, and Gerber Electric. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.